Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Families will find you as the great help in the time of need, the great healer, the great physician, and the great comforter. And Father, for all the things that you do, even the things that are so numerous to mention, that when we really begin to see what you've already done, that we should praise and worship you all the more, because you are a great and loving God. We will give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, it'd been a long time ago, I sang with a group called Tennessee Harmony. I was their piano player and part-time vocalist. And the manager of our group allowed me to make a solo album. This was a song that was on it, and as I've listened to different ones on the news talk about some things, this song just seems like it's appropriate for right now.
When my heart is filled with pain and I'm tempted to complain, remind me of Calvary. When my hope is all but gone and I've almost lost my song, remind me of Calvary. Remind me of Calvary. Remind me of Calvary. When I don't know what to do, teach me, Lord, to trust in you. Remind me of Calvary. When my friends have let me down and there's darkness all around, remind me of Calvary. When they turn behind me of Calvary. Remind me of Calvary. Sinners were slain. So I'll cherish the old cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown to the old rugged cross. I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Old rugged cross, I'll never be true. His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Sing the chorus with me till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for crown, and exchange it someday for a crown.
That second thing there wasn't planned, in case you couldn't tell. But I love those old songs. All right, if you have your Bibles, I got to get my Bible down off my shelf here. I was working on my devotions this morning. Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And I hope that these little mini broadcasts, podcasts, church services, Bible studies, whatever this happens to be, becomes a blessing to you. So here we go, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse number 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right of me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with all the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So, remember we started off last week by saying there are two truths about prayer. One, somebody prayed for or is still praying for you, and you are praying for or still are for somebody. That we know that those two things are absolutely true. So, Paul begins here with this church with giving thanks for the believers and their walk with Christ. Now, see, what the first thing that all of us needs to realize is that prayer should never be a chore, but a joy. Prayer should never be a chore, but joy. When we get down in prayer, we're not just talking to the air. We're not just gabbing to hear ourselves talk. We are talking to the King of the whole universe. We are talking to God Almighty. We are told in Hebrews chapter 4, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we can pray without ceasing, and know that when we pray, he hears us. Prayer should never be that chore, but a joy. And as we are praying and as we are learning to walk, God works in our lives to get us ready for that moment of Christ's return or our death. That's what Paul says by he's perfecting. He's growing us up. See, the problem with most of the church world today is that we are still immature. A lot of your believers have yet to grow up. They are still at the same spiritual level they were when they first got saved. They've not made any forward progress. But through prayer, through reading God's word, we can make forward progress because God will begin to minister in that way. Paul also then gives him, he says, I love all of you. He gives him an expression of love. The problem in the church today, we've taken love to be greasy grace. I really wish, those of you that are watching this, if you can go on YouTube and look for Melissa Doherty, she does a parody video of a 21st century Christian talking to a first century Christian. The first century Christian talks about the persecution of being burned alive or thrown to the lions or babies because they're born to Christian families being taken away and just put in dump sites. And the 21st century Christian says, oh, that's awful. You know, they deplatform us on Facebook and off YouTube. Not the same thing. And then she goes on to tell this first century Christian, you're not declaring right. The first century Christian holds the fact that, one, they love Christ even to their own death, and two, they love each other. The church today is not called to run around and hope that we are right, not to run around and hope that Jesus Christ is our King, but we run around loving God because of who he is, and we want to please our Father who sent his Son Yeshua to die for us. And the expression is that they will know you're my disciples not because you wear Christian t-shirts, not because you have the fish on the back of the ichthys on the back of your car, not because you have, and you can fill in the blank, but because of the love you have for one another. Yet growing up in the church, I rarely really saw true love for one another. Oh, they would be real loving when church was on session, and they would be real loving as long as you lived up to whatever they wanted you to live up to. But the moment you failed, the moment you had a problem, the moment there was an issue, suddenly you were the pariah, the bane of their own existence. Why is that? Because true love, as we read in Corinthians, doesn't keep a record of all that. As a matter of fact, let's look at what the mutual love is. Look over, if you will, if you got your Bible there with you, go back to 1 Corinthians in 13. Now notice what Paul, he says, even if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And he talks about, he goes, why? He goes, because love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, does not brag, it's not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take account of wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Why is that important? Because in the church, we have to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. A mutual expression of love, as we begin to walk in unconditional love, walking as Jesus walked and talked and acted, we'll begin to see clearer spiritual vision, because as we become more to the image of Christ, we begin to see what Christ saw. Christ says, everything you see and hear me do, I see and hear my Father do. So we should be, that everything that you see and hear me do is because I've seen and heard Christ do it, and Christ saw his Father do it. Every word, every action, every deed needs to be focused through that lens of a mutual love. You say, well, Brother Eric, what about those who are living in sin? It is our love for them that tells them there is a way out. There's a doorway out of your sin, out of your perversion, out of your bondage. And it's because of our love for you, we declare this unto you. We've got to get out of the point of putting the sinner and the sin in the same boat. You got to love the sinner. You don't like the sin. You love your children, but you're not always crazy about every decision they make. In the same way, you've got to look at the world and say, I love this person in spite of themselves, but I don't love the life they've chosen to live. You've got to separate those two things. As we begin to walk in spiritual love and wisdom, we will begin to see true revival, not of quantity, but of quality. You see, Jesus knew that there were those who would follow him for the signs, for the miracles, for fill in the blank. What he needed was disciples who followed him for him. In John chapter 6, we read the story where Jesus said that he gave your fathers bread from heaven. I am that bread from heaven. It said, and this was such a hard saying that many stopped following him. He turns to the disciples. Will you leave me also? And Peter, who is impetuous as the rest of us, says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, the problem with many in the church today, they want the signs, they want the status, they want to see things happen, but they don't understand that the church was never called to be a circus. The church was called to be a marching army for Jesus Christ. We don't use bombs and we don't use chemical warfare. We get on our knees before God and get ourselves out of the way and let God be God. Let Christ show through our lives with such anointing and power that it changes the very fabric of our own lives, and it changes the way the world sees us. You see, the reason I believe the world is right now becoming a post-Christian culture is because the church stopped being the church. In 1930s Germany, the church got in bed with Hitler. This is all documented. One or two pastors stood against. Those pastors were killed. They were arrested. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was weaving in the United States. Come over here, we'll protect you. He goes, I've got to spread the gospel to my own people. And it cost him his life. We complain and we get worried that our voices are being silenced. When the early church, they would put them to death. They would burn them as candles in the emperor's garden. And the more they tried to destroy the church, the stronger they loved and held to one another. And the stronger they began to preach Jesus Christ. Yet today, we don't want to preach Jesus and him crucified and risen from the dead, ascended to God the Father, coming back. We want to preach about how you can get more money in your bank account, how you can get a bigger house, hallelujah, that you can go from driving a bicycle to driving a BMW, how you can go from wearing a Timex to a Rolex. And we go through all of this stuff. When at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is your love for Jesus and God the Father and your love for each other, because that's the only thing that cannot be legislated out of you or taken away from you. As they abounded in love, as they walked in love, as they walked in what Jesus called them to do, and their spiritual vision becomes very clear, it causes your life to be full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the things that Paul talks about should be visible in a person's life. And as those fruit become more evident, we begin to truly lift up Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32. He goes, and if I am lifted up from the earth, now we know he's speaking here of crucifixion because he's going to be crucified, I will draw all men unto myself. So we know that physically was an event in Jesus' life. He was crucified, hung on a cross, and died for the sins of the world. When he called Telestai, it is finished, the whole world knew something big had just happened. As believers, we're not lifting up the denomination that we happen to be affiliated with. We're not lifting up the seminary that we got our degrees from. We're not lifting up the ministries that we're working over, even the ministries that we may be in charge of. But we are lifting up one thing, Jesus Christ, him crucified, buried, risen from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he made final intercession and prayer for us, and then his soon an imminent return to earth, perhaps today. And some of you probably look at me and say, well, you know, Dr. Stansberry, we've heard this all of our lives, that Jesus was coming back. And he's not back. Fair. But the Jews in the early, from the Genesis chapter 1 or 3, all the way through, were waiting for Messiah. Every Jewish mother that gave birth to a baby boy hoped he's the one. But then Jesus did come. He was Messiah ben David, ben Joseph. He would suffer and die at the hands of wicked men. But then when he arose, he becomes Messiah ben David, King of kings and Lord of lords. So I ask you this morning, are you abounding in love? I'm not talking the love that just excuses everything and says, well, I know. But the love that says, I love you enough that I'm going to pray and pray and pray. And we'll give you one example of what I mean by the prodigals. You know the story of Ahab and Jezebel in 1 Kings? Where Ahab wanted a vineyard. He couldn't get the vineyard. So he went back and he cried, and his wife Jezebel manufactured a way to kill the guy that had the vineyard so that her husband could get the vineyard. While in the middle of getting the vineyard, God sends Elijah to tell him. He says, look, dude, you stole this by murder and deceit. Dogs and birds are going to feast on your body because of your pride and all of those things. And many of us look at people who are living in sin, and we're waiting for the birds and the dogs to kill them off. Ahab heard the words of the prophet. He rent his clothing. He fasted. He showed contrition. And God speaks again to Elijah, says, because of these acts of humility, I won't bring the birds and the dogs into his life. He won't have to see it happen. We should focus more on that part of what God wants to do in people's lives and quit praying for the birds and the dogs. If we're abounding in love, you say, well, my ex-wife was a piece of work. Pray for her. My ex-husband's crazy. Pray for her. My whole family's crazy. Pray for her. My children are in sin and they're lost. Pray for them. Love them. Pray for, love them. Hold on to the very horns of the altar of God and say, call their name before the throne, because we know that the prayers of the saints rise up before our Father like an incense, and they are collected in bowls. We also know that at the end times judgment, God is going to turn those prayers, and he's going to immediately begin answering prayers for those who have asked for help in distress or to be vindicated. And when he begins answering those prayers, it will bring judgment to those who have walked in their own ways. They've blown past the signs of the Holy Spirit. But today, if you're the prodigal, today, if you're the one that says, I have wandered far from home, why don't you come home? Why don't you arise and go back to your father's house and say, forgive me for the fool I've been. I promise you. I love the song the Kingsmen sing. It was originally a Phillips Craig and Dean song. This is When God Ran. The only time I ever saw him was when he ran to me, took me in his arms, put my head to his chest, say, my son has come home again, lifted my head, wiped the tears from my eyes, said, son, you know I still love you. I've experienced that in my own life when I walked away for 6 years because I was hurt. And I walked in a path that I would not recommend any of you walk in. But then one day I heard him say, son, won't you come home? Not like a phone call. It wasn't a physical phone call. But I came home. Am I still perfect? I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, I fall more than I stand, stumble more than I walk. But I have one thing, this one thing. I want to see your face. I want to dwell in your presence. And this is what I found. His love for me is greater than any love I've ever imagined. And he has called me to love you that same way. Father God, we thank you for your word today, for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your glory. Help today, Lord, these words burrow into people's hearts and change them, Lord, for your glory. And we'll give you praise and honor for who you are and what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us next week. We're going to be in Colossians called Growing to Live Worthy. Right here, 8:45 Pacific time in Arizona. Now, when all y'all's times changes, my time stays the same. I don't fall back or spring forward. So the time may be an hour difference either way for you. But it's always been recorded here on Facebook. It'll also be on my YouTube channel and on my audio podcast. It is on Apple iTunes, Spotify, and through Podomatic. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Sandsbury wishing you grace and peace be multiplied into your life. Thank you for joining me. May God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansberry. Feel free to email Pastor Stansberry at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.